من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise, thanks and adoration are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without partners. We ask for Allah's mercy and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as his family, his companions, and all those who fought their path and followed their guidance until the day of the reckoning. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept our ibadah today with the second day of Ramadan, 1,447 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to the 19th of February 2026. Here we are again in this mosque, the Naika Mosque, to continue our yearly or annual Ramadan tafsir. Sometimes when you look at life, it is so scary. It was just like a month ago that we gathered here, spent a month translating the meaning of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we concluded and said we meet next year inshallah. It was as though the year was going to take so long. Here we are today, as if it is just a few days that we are back. تَمُرُّ مِنَ الْأَيَّامُ تَسْرَى وَإِنَّمَا نُسَاقُ إِلَى الْآجَالِ وَالْعَيْنُ تَنْزُورُ. The days and nights are alternating so fast. But it's just that we are moving closer to our grave. So it's what I should say. But we thank Allah. We thank Allah that He has scared our lives to this day. He has scared our lives throughout the year, keeping us safe, healthy. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think virtually the faces we have been seeing, the conversant faces here, alhamdulillah, nobody is missing. Prof is here, his good friend is here, the sort of Prof. Alhamdulillah, the brother around. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has cleared our lives in this moment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ طَالَ عُمُرُهُ وَحَسْنَ عَمَلُهُ. The best of people are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared their lives to live long and their works are good. It is just normal that when Allah cleared your life and He gives you respite in life, that you understand that it is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. Because it is an opportunity Allah has given you, which He didn't give to others. Those who died a year ago, no matter how righteous they are, no matter how pious they are, what would be the account of the salah you have observed for the past 1 year? What would be the account of the istighfar you have made for the past 1 year? Now Allah has cleared your life to witness another Ramadan. And that person did not have the opportunity, not because he committed a crime, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored you. So the month of Ramadan is a month that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show mercy to a slave, he fears his life to witness among them. When Allah Ta'ala wants to show mercy to a slave, Allah wants to have maghfirah, Allah wants to have rahmah on that slave. Allah wants his scale of good deeds to be heavy. Allah Ta'ala scales his life to the month of Ramadan. Because it is more, it is a month that is one of its type. Out of the 12 months, there is none that is like Ramadan. This is the month that the moment begins, فتحت أبواب الجنة وغلقت أبواب النيران وسفتت الشياطين. The moment the moon or the crescent is sighted, the doors of paradise are opened, the doors of hell are closed, and heaven are tied down. Which means people have the opportunity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any serious influence. This is the moment in which the Quran was revealed. And the Quran is not revealed or descended or brought down to anything except that that thing becomes the text. The Quran was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he became the text of prophets. The Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan and the month of Ramadan became the text of month. The Quran was given to this Ummah and this Ummah became the text of nations. So there is a very strong connection between this month and the Quran. There is a very strong connection. The connection is not detachable. And that's why we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also having a very strong connection between him and his teacher, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, with respect to the Quran. Every month of Ramadan, Jibreel comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to study the Quran for every month of Ramadan. Everything that has been revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is revised in the month of Ramadan. Every part of the Quran is revised and studied again. The year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, Jibreel revised the Quran twice with the Prophet of Allah. They started, they ended, they started again, and they got to the end twice. That connection that exists between the Quran and the month of Ramadan has a lot of importance, which we want to advise ourselves to utilize. So that we don't fall in the category of those whom the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has complained to Allah that Ya Rabbi inna qawmi wa qala Rasul Ya Rabbi inna qawmi takhadu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. The Messenger of Allah complained to his Lord that, oh my Lord, my Ummah, my people have deserted this Qur'an. They have abandoned the Qur'an. Abandoning the Qur'an is important. One is that one does not believe that it is the word of Allah. It is Hajj al-Qur'an. That is the word of Allah. But if one believes in the Qur'an as the word of Allah, yet he does not recite it, he has also abandoned the Qur'an. Because reciting the Qur'an is a fundamental aspect of worship. وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah said to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ رَبَّ هَذِهِ الْبَلْدَةِ الَّذِي حَرَّمَهَا وَلَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ. Tell them that I've been instructed to recite the Quran. The Quran is the only book that you recite and you get rewarded. Whether you understand the meaning or not, reciting it alone ends your reward. It is only the Quran. There is no other book that you read, and reading it gives you reward, except the Quran. So if a person does not recite the Quran, he has fallen into the category of those who have abandoned the Quran to some degree. When a person believes in the Quran, he recites the Quran, but does not memorize any portion of the Quran, he has also abandoned the Quran to a degree. Because Quran is to be memorized. فَهِيَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. The Quran is to be preserved in the hearts of men. Now when a person believes in the Quran, he recites the Quran, he memorizes the portion of the Quran that Allah has made for him. Yet he doesn't walk with the Quran, he has also abandoned the Quran. Now, reciting the Quran, memorizing the Quran, understanding the Quran, and working with the Quran is dependent on understanding the meaning of the Quran. Now we need to understand the message for us to be able to walk with the message. When one does not understand the message, it finds it difficult to walk with it. So that we don't fall into those categories that the Prophet had complained, we need to connect with the Quran in terms of recitation, in terms of memorization, in terms of understanding the message it contains. Because when we do that, we have a number of benefits, which we see in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are two things we should try to work towards in this month of Ramadan. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, "Kana Nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam ajwad al-nas." وأجود ما يقول في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل فيعارضه القرآن. أنس بن مالك said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the most generous of all men. There's nobody as generous as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. None. And that's why when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام gives gifts to people, he would invite their people to embrace Islam. فإن محمدا ينفق إنفاق رجل لا يخاف الفاق. Come on, embrace Islam. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spends, he gives gifts the way the one who fears no poverty gives his gifts. He's not afraid of poverty. He gives. That is the nature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, ordinarily, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس. The Prophet is the most generous of men. And I said, وَأَجْوَلُ مَا يَقُولُ. If you want to know when the Prophet is most generous, في رمضان. It is in the month of Ramadan, حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ. When Jibreel meets him, يُعَارِضُ الْقُرْآنِ. And Jibreel studies the Quran with him. What that means is that the studying of the Quran, the recitation of the Quran, influences a person to become selfless, to become generous. It influences a person to want to give, to want to assist others. That is one of the benefits of reciting the Quran. It makes a person to become jawwad. When we study the Quran, we recite the Quran, we memorize the Quran, we listen to the tafsir of the Quran, it has that impact in the heart, making a person to be generous, making a person to want to be, which is one of the cardinal things we should also try to work with in the month of Ramadan. The Quran will encourage us to feed the needy, to feed those who are fasting, to assist the poor in the month of Ramadan. Yes, we do it outside Ramadan, but we do it more in the month of Ramadan. So it's like we multiply our good deeds, we increase our good deeds in the month of Ramadan. So even the poor, no matter how little it is, they will be able to do it in the Sa'ati, or one could give a high degree of school for the Yunfik in Ma'at Ahubah. Everybody will give according to his earnings. The rich will give in accordance to what Allah has given them. The poor will also give based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. So these are some of the things we try to work with in the month of Ramadan so that the fasting becomes present, has efficacy, has value. The tafsir of this year, inshaAllah, is going to be such that if we observe the tafsir we had last year, It was more of categories of people that the Quran classified people into different groups. The believers, the hypocrites, the people of the book. The people of the book were also classified into two, the Christians and the Jews. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us of their faith and habits. Not for any reason, not for amusement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not inform us about those communities except for us to take heed, for us to learn that this is how they behave in their Lord. This is their attitude, this is their behavior, this is their mannerism with respect to their relationship with their Creator. This is how they related to the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we know how to relate with them. If they did not fulfill the covenant we have with Allah, then we should not expect them to fulfill the covenant we have with them. This year's tafsir, inshallah, is going to be taking us towards another level of rulings in Islam. Surah Al-Baqarah is a surah that is filled with so many rulings. And that is why the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, mentioned, he said, when a person understands Surah Al-Baqarah, because they are such that they read, they learn the meaning, and they walk with what they have learned before they proceed. Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Sulaymi, he said, those who taught us the Quran from among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are such that they learn 10 verses of the Quran. They learn to recite, they learn to memorize, then they learn its meaning. They don't come to add, except they have worked with 10, and they come to add. So they learn the recitation, the memorization, and the application at the same time. فَإِلَىٰ حَفِظَ الْإِنسَانُ أَوْ قَرَأَ الْبَقَرَ جَدَّ فِي أَعْيُنِهَا. When a person recites and understands Surah Al-Baqarah, he becomes mighty in our sight. They see him as a great scholar because of the content of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah is one of the written verses or surah chapters of the Quran. In terms of ruling, different rulings, life, economics, politics, mu'amalat, our relationships amongst ourselves, these are things that are contained in Surah Al-Baqarah. Likewise, we are going to be talking about matters that have to do with creed. One of the fundamental issues we have in our time, the problems of our time, matters that have to do with creed or creedal issues, matters of tawheed, matters of aqeedah, matters of manhaj, and how they affect our day-to-day activities. Inshallah, these are going to be part of the things we are going to be treated in this year's tafsir. So it is our prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist us, Allah will guide us, Allah will make us to, He will grant us the tawfiq to be able to deliver what is contained in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah won't, but be our desires one. We'll be making some cautioning, we'll be cautioning ourselves with respect to what is happening amongst us today, especially as it has to do with the damages we see in our society. As far as people's belief system is concerned, it is alarming that today, when we say Islam is under siege, when we say Islam is under siege, we are not just talking about the military siege. No, there is a more complicated war that is waged against Islam. There is the inter-war, there is the inter-religious war, which has to do with the physical military warfare. That is a minor warfare, because Muslims don't get defeated by war. And not just Muslims alone. Civilizations are not defeated by strength. Civilizations are usually defeated ideologically, intellectually, If you wage a war on a people, you end up making them become adamant, stubborn upon their beliefs. A typical example is you do not know any is what is happening in Gaza. It is typical. It is just natural that the moment you wage war against a people, you make them hold on more to their beliefs, especially when they already have a belief in that thing. They don't stop. And that is why when you go back to history, the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find out that persecution did not discourage the believers. Persecution, torment, did not make them revert despite all the persecution. Not just the Muslims, even those who came before them. And that is why when you look at the hadith of Khabbab bin al-Arad, radiallahu anhu, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after being persecuted, after he was tortured, his back burned, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while the Prophet was leaning against the Kaaba, and he said to him, Ala tastansir lana, Ala tad'u lana. He showed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his back that was burned. He said, Ya Rasulullah, won't you pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings victory? Won't you ask for help for us? Look at my back, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded him of history. That you are not the first people to be subjected to torture and persecution. You are not the first people. And you will not be the last. Just like one of the noble said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا جَاءَ أَحَدٌ بِهِذْلِ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِذْلَ عُوْلِ. Nobody comes with the similitude of what you have come except that we were engaged against him. He's taken as an enemy. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam told Khattab, he said, قَدْ كَانَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَهُ. Those who came before him also faced the same thing. Yukta bil rajul, the person will be caught on account of his faith. No other reason, no other time than the fact that he believes in Allah. He will be brought. يُخْبَرُ لَهُ كُفْرًا or تُخْبَرُ لَهُ كُفْرًا and a ditch will be made. يُخْبَرُ لَهُ كُفْرًا and a saw will be brought. يُخْبَرُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ the saw will be placed in the middle of his head for يُشَقُّ نِصْفَيْهِ and he will be split into three. I'm sure we know then we don't have the automatic saw. You can just split someone into two because of the speed of the motors. No. Here they are sawed physically, manually, mechanically. And the Prophet said, for you shall put it in. That believer is split into two. He said to Khabbab, مَا رَدَّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. That persecution did not make them lose their religion. Rather, it strengthened them, it reinforced them. It made them to become adamant on their religion. So persecution usually is a failed effort to annihilate any particular civilization. So we are not talking about the physical heat, the military heat against Islam. No, today we are under a siege that is more dangerous, more toxic. That is the ideological siege, the ideological war, the war of Aqida, the war of creed, where people might be answering the name of Muslims, yet they are far from the teachings of Islam. We are people who will be praying in the mosque, yet they are as good as not being Muslims because of the ideological warfare. That's when you look at the intra ideological warfare. There is also the intra ideological warfare, where you find people being taken out of Islam ideologically in our universities today. Jawahar universities today, what is happening in higher institutions of learning is truly alarming. That we have Muslims today who are falling into the line of atheism. It is growing, it is not dropping, it is increasing. That is a dangerous war. A Muslim that was born into the family of Muslims comes to tell you one day that he does not believe in religion. He says religion is come. Because he has been exposed to some information in the internet. There is a war going on there. Who fights the war? Who tackles the enemies from that line? Of course, there are people who are championing that war, and they know very well, they know so well, that they don't believe in that war. But it is not about winning people to a faith, not even about making them to drop their own faith. They are going to also be talking about the Jews. If he's talking about Jews, as far as Islam is concerned, it's one thing you can't do about. There is no surah that talks about any long surah you see, except that Allah wants to talk about this particular thing. I want to ask, have you ever thought of any time you have seen a mission, Jews calling people to embrace Judaism? Okay, we want you to join us. We want to convert you into our religion. There is no single effort by the Jews to convert people into Judaism. Because that is not, it is not an agenda at all. They don't care. But they don't want you to be where you are. They don't want you to be Muslim. What they want is for you to be in Islam and you don't join them, period. Leave Islam, but they don't need you to be with them. They just want you to be hanging. Because they are chosen ones. They are chosen ones to them. نَحْنُ أَبْنَاهُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ. That is why when the Quran says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. It is because of this. Those who hate the Muslims most as Jews and the polytheists. A Christian might come to invite you, you tell you, no, believe in the Holy Spirit and come to join Christianity. He has an agenda to pull you into Christianity. He's happy with that you join his religion. But the Jew doesn't want that thing. He does not need you. Because his religion is for he alone, he does not want anybody. So he will not allow you to practice your own religion. And that is why there is nothing evil today in the internet. Whether of religion, whether of ideology, whether morality, except that those who are behind it are Jewish companies. The sponsors and champions of atheism are Jews. The sponsors and champions of anything that has to do with Ibrahia, Afahisha, the Jews are behind it. Because what they want is destroy people's Akira, destroy their religion. Don't let them join you and don't let them remain in their religion. We will still learn about them, their plots, and what they feel about the Muslims. So all of these wars that we are talking about, they are wars we need to really come together to tackle. Parents must be mindful of what their children read, where they get knowledge from, where they get information from. Parents must be careful. Parents must be careful in handling access to information indiscriminately to children. Today we are in the era of information. Yes, it Because you have access to information, so it should be guided. And many parents today believe that allowing children to have access to the internet is like a fundamental right. But this is one of the most dangerous aspects of the party we are fighting. One of the most dangerous aspects of the party we are fighting is exposure to the internet. There is the good and evil of it, but the evil is so much. A researcher once said, exposing a child to the internet is like giving the child to a battlefield. A battle that the child has to fight for the rest of his life. So parents should decide when they want to expose their children to that battle. When do you want him to start? Early or later? But exposure to the internet is a battle. Look at the way the internet has been structured. It is to serve as a distraction. Those same enemies you are talking about, the same people, they brought it, and we see a lot of good in it, yes. But the ultimate aim is not to do good. It is to make us become redundant. It is to make us become unproductive. Whether it has to do with technology, whether it has to do with religion, whether it has, it is just for us to remain redundant, to become as useless as anything. That is what they want. So we might have a lot of good in them, but it has to be seriously regulated. Our fear, inshallah, for this year, like we said, is going to be all around that. That is what we expect with the lab, because the bank is topical. They are related to what we need in today, and we will not be in the lab mean or reduce effort in trying to explain what those classes are really talking about. So basically, with the maybe, like I said, we will use this as an introduction for our tafsir, probably because we are supposed to have tafsir tomorrow also, so unfortunately we will not be meeting tomorrow for some issues that crop up. I will be around tomorrow. So here, inshallah, the tafsir is going to continue on Monday, I think. Yes, we have to not continue, but we are going to start the tafsir on Monday, bismillah ta'ala. We pray Allah ta'ala wa sifi Allah is still then and beyond. The message of today is for us to prepare our mind, wake up, engage ourselves, utilize the month of Ramadan as a area opportunity. Let us avoid distractions, our home, our iPad, tablet, our PCs, our screen generally. Let us see how we don't allow this to distract us. Let us be watchful of our children. Let's not expose them to unnecessary danger. Sometimes we want to believe our children are well brought up, they have career, they have this and that, and we expose them to some of these things without supervision. And when the evil happens, when the danger happens, when all this fear happens, then we begin to look for remedy. It is not good. There are a lot of people who have a lot of problems psychologically today. Their faith in religion, their belief in Allah is not stable, it's shaky. Not because Allah has been taught as hope. No, but because you have been exposed to a lot of danger in the cyberspace. So it's a call, and inshallah, we'll try to do more of it when we come for when we come to begin the interview, inshallah. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist us, and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us tawfiq. I would like to know, Malalai, do you have some information?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The information we propose to give our بيتمنى السيد سمسون جو فوكو عن بيتمولو ونرلا بالتفسير التفسير كنت بشيك of money. You see the function of Maika that you hold that what they call Tafsir Domin Ramadan. This is part of it we are doing now and also have some other programs. That is why most of our members are not here. So we really appreciate that other people that are here to bear with us and inshallah by money we will continue this Tafsir inshallah. And that's for the all.
Okay. If there are questions, we ask them. If there are no questions, we stop here, inshallah, until Monday.
And we still have it as a tradition. We want, if possible, when we start to see if there's any question, the question should be written. Then, when we come the following week, then the answers will be given. We believe one question, because I will change, inshallah, by the following week, it will give us the best of the answer. But it does not stop that for now, rather than this one, you can pick up in a song. We ask for a question now, just for a few minutes.
Okay, thank you. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين يا راحم الضعفاء والفقراء والغرباء والمساكين هذه الرحمة علينا وعلى والدينا وعلى سائر المسلمين الواحدين في كل مكان صلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المسلمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.